The views represented in this episode are solely the opinions and speculations of the Sensible People podcast. The allegations made about the cause of the rip in the time-space continuum have not been proven, although they are based in fact. Please do not try to contact any of the parties mentioned. Thank you for your cooperation.
Sensible, adjective, having, using, or showing good sense or sound judgment.
I'm not a classy guy.
Come on, two words, nipple belt.
You look like peaches and syrup.
I think Amber would look good scalped.
Not sensible.
Sensible people.
What's going on, Sensible Nation? I'm your host, Tay Wagner, here with my co-host, Raw Dog Ryan Church.
What's up, sensible fuckers?
And our lovely co-host and producer, Amber.
Hey, everyone.
We have a good show for you guys lined up. We've got a guest star on the show, a friend of the show, Whiskey Boy, Matt Blake from Whiskey Boy Radio, coming on a little later. And we've got some fun tapas to talk to him about.
Did you say tapas?
Tapas.
I'm hungry.
I think I did say tapas. I do like a nice tapas.
I think this is weirding me out. We're all in different. We're in different seats today, Sensible Nation. We're trying something new. Raw Dog here is doing the sound mixing in preparation for a potential Amber being gone, maybe for an episode or so as she brings a baby into the world.
So we're going to have to, well, one thing, we're obviously, as you mentioned, going to have to do the audio. The second thing is we're off the chains, man. Yeah. We're going to be alone. We're salivating, licking our chops at the fact of being alone on the mics for a little bit of time.
The ball and chain's going to be off of my ankle Amber's gone.
If you guys thought this show was a little rowdy beforehand, just wait till Amber's out of here.
I'm nervous to get my first round of recordings to edit.
She's going to be like, what the fuck happened? So
you guys did hear a little... whatever you want to call it, in our hook, so a disclaimer, I'll call it, but the views of this show does represent Amber's view, always and forever. Just remember that.
I also liked in that little hook that you had, the mention of continuum.
The continuum transfunctionae?
Yeah, it makes me think of it every time. We are the keepers of the continuum transfunctionae.
What an underrated movie. I know people probably look at it as like, what a stupid movie. Dude, Where's My Car? So underrated.
So I used to hate that movie, actually, because I fucking owned it and I watched it so many goddamn I watched it so many goddamn times. And it was like in the eighth grade for me. It was a little overrated because everybody pumped it up so much and I watched it so many times. But as I got older, it had been about, 10 years or whatever since I saw it, and I watched it again and I fell in love with it all over again.
I feel like if you were a character in that movie, you would be one of the bubble wrap people.
The bubble wrap.
Yeah. Donkey Lips, for all you people around my age who watched Nickelodeon as a kid, salute your shorts. Remember Donkey Lips? Donkey Lips was actually one of the bubble wrap people from Dude, Where's My Car?
Right?
Yep.
It's too funny.
So it's April. I was thinking about, as you guys know, I'm not a religious guy by any means, but grew up going to church every once in a while. And, this month, obviously, we had Easter. Easter was early this year, April 1st. But got me thinking, I wanted to tell you guys something that happened to me. And it was the most awkward thing. This was a couple years ago when, before I had a kid and we were into going to strip clubs or having strippers at a party. And we had this local establishment that we would always go to. We knew the owner that would get us our singles. So not give us singles, but we would bring our money in and he in exchange would give us the singles because sometimes at the strip club, it's hard. And, or if we're having a party at home, obviously you need your own singles.
You can't go to a bank.
It was just easier to go to this establishment, Amber. So I'm waiting in the lobby of this restaurant / bar to get my singles. And I grew up with a very nice kid. His name was Justin, and now he is a pastor. And I don't see Justin much anymore. Not that we were great friends, but we were always, acquaintances. Always good to run into people that you don't see. And I'm waiting here in the lobby, and the guy comes out, brings me my roll of singles. A, it looks like a drug deal, number one. But at the time, as I'm waiting for my singles, Justin comes in, the now pastor. Haven't seen him in probably 10 years. So doing the chit-chat, really nice guy, talking to him, just about life. Mid-sentence as we're talking, the guy comes out and brings me my roll of singles. Hands it to me right in my hand as I'm sitting here talking to a pastor. And I just see the look on his face, and he's just like, I could tell his mind was racing. Like, what is he doing with this?
Yeah.
What did he just sell? And I was so nervous. I just took the singles. I was like, Justin, it was great to see you. I got to go. And I just ducked my head and got the hell out of there.
I got like you're running from something.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect when you go into a place that you call an establishment? Nothing good can come
it's
from that.
It's a fine establishment. Greek.
I have a story that happened to me recently as well. And it's something, I don't know how you guys feel about it, so I'm kind of curious to hear. But these people who fuck their pets, and I don't mean in the literal way, but you don't see them anyways doing it, but you just know they probably do. And it's these people that they treat their pets
sheeple.
Like they're fucking they're the second coming of Christ. They're sheeple, right. So I'm in the grocery store, like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And this woman has her little fucking tutu doll, that fucking
Shih Tzu?
Dog. Yeah, whatever it is.
She called
it tutu or some shit. It's sitting in the front, like the top part of the cart. And she's talking to it like it's a real person or a
grocery
kid.
Store?
In the grocery store, dog. Up and down the fucking aisles. And she's looking at the cereal and she's like, what do you want, tutu? Special K or Cheerios? And I'm just looking at her like, dude, it would eat a bowl of dingleberries. It's a fucking dog.
I would have stabbed her with a fucking plastic fork because that's making me mad.
So you're on the same page because some people, like, I get the dog love. I've seen fucking Planet Earth. It's a good show. I like the animals too.
But Tatanka's beat off to Planet Earth.
These fucking dogs are dogs and just that. They're dogs. They're pets. You love them. That's it.
Yeah.
They're not people. But they don't grocery shop. Get them out of the car.
Why are they leave in the fucking loud. Grocery store?
Leave them
store.
In the fucking car to heat up and cook.
That's a new thing is like having your dog be an emotional support dog.
Oh, that's
so you
the
can
biggest
bring it everywhere.
Crock of shit ever. It's getting so ridiculous. These people, they, everything is an emotional support dog or whatever
yeah,
you call
an
it.
Animal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like emotional support lizard. Speaking of dogs, though, just recently, I just want to give a good shout out. Our good friends who are getting married this May, and I'm going to the bachelor party, they have a Pomeranian dog, which it's a smaller dog.
Sure, yeah.
Probably weighs at the most 8 pounds, six, seven, 8 pounds.
It's like my roommate, Rui.
This dog has the biggest dick I've ever seen. Aww. Like red rocket lizard tongue dick. And in our group of friends, he's known as it. His name is Henry. And we've made so many porno names for Henry that I don't even want to get into. But for like size to weight ratio, I think he's bigger than the 19-inch guy that we referenced in the show before. And actually, just before we recorded right now today, I got a Snapchat from my buddy's soon-to-be wife. Henry was licking his own dick.
Ew.
Sitting nice. On the stairs. The red rocket was just out, just flapped there like a fucking elephant trunk, and he was licking it.
I remember kids in middle school like, dude, I tried to suck my own dick, this kid. He's like, but I read that you had to remove your ribs.
Well, because the rumor was Marilyn Manson removed
right,
a rib to
right.
suck his own dick.
Yeah.
That always intrigued me.
Oh my God.
I'm sure it did.
Moving on to a more serious topic.
So shout out to Henry and your big fucking fat red rocket dick.
Okay, now we're going to get into the meat of our episode here. What you all really came for, the Mandela Effect. So getting into this.
Ooh, what's that?
Picture this. It's 1987. You're sitting on a carpet square on top of a cold tile library floor in your sixth grade history class. It's day 10 of Black History Month, and today you're learning about Nelson Mandela, the South African Communist Party member who fought against racial segregation in South Africa until his arrest in 1962 for conspiracy to overthrow the government. In 1983, Nelson Mandela became ill and died in prison 21 years into his life sentence. You hazily remember the press coverage from a few years before, but you're too busy thinking about lunch to really care. Now fast forward yourself to 2013. You turn on the TV and see reports of Nelson Mandela's death on December 5th, 2013. Impossible, you think. He's been dead for years. Or has he? So what is the Mandela Effect? Essentially, the Mandela Effect is what happens when somebody has a very clear, distinctive memory of something, but it never actually happened. And usually when it just happens with one person, that's kind of just like a false memory. But with the Mandela Effect, it's like total strangers, like large amounts of people just mass remembering facts or events. But that's not what's actually recorded in history books.
So it's not like when I think like when Dana told me to do the dishes or laundry and I thought that I did them, but I actually
didn't. Yeah, no, not like that at all. So some explanations is that it could possibly be caused by parallel realities or programming glitches in the holodeck. Which I don't know.
It
if
sounds
you guys
a lot like
is.
Interstellar or the butterfly.
Yeah. Miller's Planet type situation going. We got to get Josh Richards on to explain the Mandela effect.
So to put this in perspective for you, specifically Nelson Mandela, that's how this theory was named. It's true that so many people remember him dying in the 1980s, and a lot of people say specifically they remember the year 1983. So I was on the Mandela Effect website, and I'm going to read you a couple comments from people who are talking about how specifically they remember this event. So one person says, I haven't thought about this in a while, but last week I was going through some boxes at my dad's house, and I found some of my old notebooks that contained copies of current events from the week of March 11th, 1983. My report was detailed about his death in prison and that he had been sick for a while. It focused on how the country of South Africa was pulling it together due to his passing. The person said they didn't write the actual date of the death, but because they were writing a report for school, they knew that it happened that week.
Right.
A lot of people had similar experiences to what was in the little intro there, where they were saying, like, in fourth grade or whatever, they learned about Nelson Mandela during Black History Month. And several people said that. So it was weird how they all were relating it to learning it in school at the same time for the same event that never actually happened.
Nelson Mandela sounds like a straight gangster to me. I don't know about you guys.
A lot of people actually brought up that they could specifically remember that there was legal fights going on about commercial rights and book deals due to his death, even though clearly it didn't happen. But so many people just remember those really specific facts.
Yes, yeah. And the question is why, right?
Yeah, exactly. What caused this? So the timeline of discovering the actual Mandela effect. It happened in late 2009. A woman named Fiona Broom launched a website after she had like put together these facts of people thinking that Nelson Mandela had died, even though at that point in time, he hadn't even died. It wasn't even 2013. So she created this website. And from 2010 to 2014, people began like reporting other little things, but it was still like relatively unknown. Then in 2015, the topic abruptly reached critical mass when the Bernstein/Berenstain Bears subject went viral.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
See, I don't until, I mean, Amber brought this whole Mandela effect up to me a couple months ago at work, and I was somebody that had no idea what she was talking about when she said it.
So did she explain it to you in the Cheech voice?
She did. We got the Berenstain Bears, we got Queen, we've got Jiv. That's exactly how she said it. But it was, as soon as she started telling me what it was, I was like so interested in it because, as we're about to get to, and I don't want to say it right now, and you'll hear in these examples we're about to give you with name brand and things that you all are going to remember, you're going to say, what? Like, how is that possible that it's not
no
what
doubt.
This is? So really interesting things here.
Yeah. So our very first example is the Bernstein/Berenstain Bears. So many people have really fond memories of the children books, the Berenstain Bears. They read them as children's or family members read them to them. And when you look at the actual book, so many people remember it being spelled with an E. So the
spell it out in full Amber.
So it would be Berenstein.
That's how most people remember the Bernstein Bears
yes.
books.
But instead, it's the Berenstain Bears with an A.
Yeah, like it's like if you spelled it out how it looks, like Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, Berenstain Bears.
Like yeah, that pronouncing got me. This wrong. That got me because we had this girl growing up. Her name was Sarah Bernstein in grade school. And we all called her the Berenstain Bear. And, yeah. You know, I think I pushed her down the stairs and maybe that's where this started. But it just blows my mind that everybody could think that it's the fucking Bernstein when it's just clearly not.
I think the more common name is Bernstein. So did one person just call it Bernstein, like one of the second graders that didn't know how to fucking speak or talk yet? So then ever since then, like the butterfly effect, one kid said it and it was a ripple effect that we thought it was Bernstein and not Berenstain.
What does the publisher say about this or the author? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. No.
It'd be interesting to look into what their take on. Are they still alive for this?
I have no idea.
Well,
come prepared with facts.
All I know is whether it's Bernstein or Berenstain, these bears are Jewish, right?
I would
with
think
that
so.
Name.
Probably suck at sports.
That's the one constant. They're Jewish.
But as soon as this, people started posting pictures online of the books, like comparing what they thought it was to what it was. That's when the Mandela effect really just kind of opened up to a lot more examples.
We just, so you guys know, you can Google, obviously, the Mandela effect. You guys will find all these examples and all the pictures. So feel free to do so. But as you guys are listening to this, check out our social media pages. We will have images up of all of these examples that we're referencing.
Or will we?
Maybe.
Just fucking. We will.
So another one that I thought was personally interesting was the number of U.S. states. So personally, when growing up, like when people would ask me how many states there were, like on tests, I could never remember the actual number. I knew it was somewhere between 50 and 52, but I could not pare down the actual number of what it was. And that was on one of our lists that surprisingly most people should know that it is 50 states, but so many people recall it as either 51 or 52 states. But why? Why are some people adding an extra state or two?
It's probably an IQ thing.
Yeah. Did they grow up in the South? That is what we were saying. That's one example that me and you
don't have.
But Amber thought that there was like 56 or 7 states she mentioned.
I still think even after this, I'm going to not be able to remember.
That one just never...
There's 50 states. There's 50 states. Started at 13 and we got 50.
Right.
I don't know if it has something to do with like thinking like maybe Puerto Rico or something is included, or I don't know.
You definitely did not think that.
No.
Just look at the flag.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
There's count all the stars.
Yeah.
Number three, I just cannot believe still. We like pulled up proof because we're going to check it. So the song We Are the Champions by Queen. Very legendary song. And it definitely ends because we are the champions of the world. Correct, right? Does everybody agree with this?
I always think that's how you sing it. He says of the world.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't. Play it for us, Ryan.
Ready? On, we are the champions of the world. Clearly doesn't say of the world.
I don't think that was the right part.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the very end.
What do you mean?
The very end, the last line.
See what happened. Like, this is what happens when our producers run our music.
We are the champions.
Here it comes.
Building. That's when
what
I thought it was
fuck?
Happening.
It definitely says the word.
I know,
everybody
so why,
knows that.
Where did that come from then? Who made that up?
So this is my theory on this, personal theory of why I think of it. This song, obviously famous within itself, but also I believe it was either D1 or D2, The Mighty Ducks. I can't remember which movie it was famously played in. But I thought in that movie, did they kids themselves when they were celebrating say of the world, like the actual actors, the hockey players?
That's possible, or even that's very possible,
because that movie like I said, the song itself is famous, but that movie helped it be even more famous, at least as a kid too, because Taylor, I don't know about you, growing up playing Little League and just, you know, youth sports, anytime we won a championship, which was often in my case, we would play that song and I would scream of the world.
Of course, every time. And so, even watching sports, like when the Bulls would win.
Yeah.
We are the champions of the world. Everybody fucking knows that. That's a bizarre one to me.
So it's crazy is that at some point, this was before the internet, obviously, but like that was an organic vibe. Like all these things had to have been quote unquote viral without the internet.
Right.
Because it just catches on and it just keeps going.
So the next one is about peanut butter.
And not with your dog.
Oh. So one of the leading peanut butter brands in the United States since 1981 has been Jif peanut butter. But so many people think it's Jiffy peanut butter.
Yeah. And even when you guys look at these pictures of the mock-up of Jiffy, you're going to think that like, yeah, it's
You've
Jiffy.
You've seen it. Yeah.
But it's not. It's just Jif. Taylor's middle name.
Tatanka Jif. I don't know. Like, this one, it's hard for me to think about. Like, I know it's Jif because I've got some Jif in my fucking cabinet right now back at home, but I don't know if I ever called it Jiffy. I mean, did you guys call it Jiffy? Do you recall?
I just like can remember seeing it on the packaging that it was Jiffy, not Jif.
Where? What was we? My mom bought the what's the Peter Pan peanut butter brand?
Oh, I don't know.
That's what
I
she know. Bought. The chunky one.
Ew.
I like. Who you does don't like to chunky eat a peanut?
Not in the
not
peanut
like
butter.
In a sandwich.
No, you go smooth or creamy. You don't do the chunk.
They do always advertise as creamy, and that always has made me.
You do the smooth or the creamy. And is it a GIF or a JIF? Now that we're on the topic.
I say GIF.
I say GIF too, but I guess the guy who invented the GIF says it's a fucking JIF.
That's stupid.
But no, then it should be Jiffies.
It's the same people that have the Jeffs of the world that are spelled G-E-O-F-F. It's fucking
G-off.
Geff, yeah. G-off. You have a dumb fucking name.
So the JIF one.
Maybe Jiffy Lube, is that how it got? I don't know. That's the only Jiffy.
We're really speculating here now.
I mean, think of you. Amber, you're going to be a mom soon. If you had some Jif in the cabinet, would you be like, is it easier to say, go grab the Jif or go get me some Jiffy, baby?
I would just say peanut butter. am I talking to the child?
All of a sudden, she runs a chicken and waffle shop down in the South.
I could see you
go
yelling
give me
at,
that Jiffy, baby.
Pass me that shit over there, baby.
Give me that shit.
I could see you yelling at Adam, saying, give me that Jiffy, baby.
Okay, Taylor, give me the most famous line from Star Wars.
Luke, I am your father.
And Ryan, you would agree with that, right?
Yeah. That's what you associate it with.
Incorrect. It's no, I am your father. Darth Vader never said Luke at the beginning of
that. That got spun somewhere because everybody knows that fucking line. In fact, I would venture to guess that all those speaking toys and dolls and the masks, they probably say the fucking incorrect line.
I know.
So where did it start?
So wait, you're saying the real lines he says is
Luke,
no, I am your father?
Yeah. The real line is no, I am your father.
It's just blowing my mind where these things come from, though. Like, how did that get started?
So right now, that's a very good point. Because right now, we're specifically trying to think, well, how could this have started? What if that's not the take that we should be taking at all? What if it is that these things really were how they were and how we remember them, but something happened?
Like someone's altering our brain.
Now you're making me
a higher being.
Consider that for the next three examples that we have, okay?
Amber, are you telling me we're living in a real-life Truman Show right now?
That's definitely a possibility.
I will find that glass ending. I will break through it.
Okay, what about the game Monopoly? You guys have played Monopoly before, correct?
I hate Monopoly.
It's a terrible game. It's
so long, but yes.
But the little Monopoly man, he's wearing something on his face.
A monocle.
A monocle, correct? Over one of his eyes. It's like a little like glasses thing that goes over his eyes.
For
I think
all
everyone
you people
knows
that
exactly
don't know
what
a fucking monocle is, it's picture if you broke half your glasses in half and you're just wearing one one glass on your eye.
Well, he's never had a monocle.
Such
never.
Mind blown.
Like that to me, Monopoly is the staple of him
of the monocle.
Of wearing the monocle.
Right.
And the only thing I can remember, like another example, is in the first Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
How many times are you going to reference
I'm
going to
reference this.
Ace Ventura.
Do you remember when he goes on the date with Melissa for the first time to that like big mansion?
Sure.
And as soon as he opens the door, the butler opens the door and he's wearing a monocle and he's bald and Ace Ventura says, "You must be the Monopoly Man."
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I also associated the Monopoly Man with him because he was wearing the monocle. So even Ace Ventura, Jim Carrey, thinks the Monopoly Man wears a fucking monocle.
And he just doesn't, huh?
He doesn't. And it says
and
he
never
has.
Really? That's a mind fuck right there.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I don't believe it. Like you just said, though, to think about it. I think he did wear it. And somebody's programming. It's Skynet. Skynet.
Cyberdyne.
Over.
I could see Amber with a monocle.
She wears one.
She comes
at work.
Back from maternity leave wearing a monocle.
When she proofreads, she wears a monocle, and she also has one of those things that the jewelers wear. So she looks at every punctuation
and booby tassels.
Yeah, booby tassels, monocle, and a magnifying glass.
I don't know if they mentioned yet, but I'm actually sitting here recording with just like my bare pregnant belly hanging out. Yeah.
It's painted like a pumpkin.
Our next example comes from Snow White. So the queen looks into the mirror.
Snow White's
a slut. And she says, "Mirror, mirror on the wall." Correct?
Correct.
You guys have all seen Snow White?
Yeah, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the biggest cunt of them all?
Well, incorrect. She says, "Magic mirror on the wall."
When? I've never heard anybody utter magic mirror on the wall.
No, it's mirror, mirror. Mm-hmm. Everybody says mirror, mirror. Mirror cat.
Frank Mir.
And finally, one of our favorite ones here. If you've seen Silence of the Lambs, you know the most famous line.
Hannibal.
And I can't say it how he says it, but hello, Clarice.
Well, hello.
Hello, Clarice.
There you go. But the problem is that never happened. When Clarice first meets Hannibal, he simply says good morning.
And at no other point does he say, well, hello, Clarice.
Nope. Like,
no?
I know. I just, like, good morning? Good morning, Clarice. I just think that he has such a distinct voice in that movie. And obviously, you know, what's his name again? I'm drawing a blank. The actor.
Anthony Hodgkins.
Such an awesome actor, but, like, distinct voice and the way he, because at some point, he might not say hello, Clarice, but we know he says Clarice.
Yeah.
I just think.
So people mash the lines as together?
As viewers, I think we just mash these together because it sound goes better. Good. So the movie should have had it because that's what we want. Right. Give the people what they want. But I find it hard to believe that he never says hello, Clarice.
It's a mind fuck again. So what's the reasoning behind all this fucking shit? Like, where does this originate? I mean, we can speculate all day, but
Sensible Nation, we have answers for you. And we are going to give you why this happened and why we see or hear these things, why we think we did.
Well, I'm excited because I don't know the answer.
Me too.
Yeah, so right now, would you guys say, before you hear the full theory, are you more in line with we're just misremembering these things?
I don't know, or but do can you, think you something wait happened? Till your bare pregnant belly stops pulsating in front of my fucking face? She looks like it's she's banging the drums.
I think the
right
baby's
now.
Reaching for your whiskey.
I feel like a chest burster is going to happen, but it's going to come out of her stomach.
Dude, I'm in the line of spray. It's sprayed on my left side of my face. So go ahead, now that it's stopped.
Move along.
Okay.
Give us the theory.
Here's the theory. The year was 2002. It was morning. A Monday morning. April 29th, to be exact. A familiar guitar strum echoes its way through approximately 13.7 million television sets. An iconic bah, 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 chirps out. Everything is right. Everything is normal. Until a phone rings. 2 minutes into the infamous three-part Blue's Clues episode, a man named Joe calls Steve to tell him he will be visiting that day. 14 minutes later, over 13.7 million preschoolers are introduced to Joe. And for one brief period of time, not even eclipsing a nanosecond, the quantum universe opened up and 6.3 billion people slipped into a parallel universe.
Ah!
You see, the Mandela effect was unarguably caused by a rip in the universal timeline. And while Steve Burns meant absolutely no harm to the world with his actions leading up to that fateful day, he nonetheless created a butterfly effect that could not be stopped. If you haven't realized by now, Steve Burns was the young man who played Steve on the ever-so-popular Nickelodeon television show Blue's Clues. Steve was selected for the role in 1995 at the age of 22 when he scored high with a preschool audience during his screen test. Both Blue's Clues and Steve were an instant hit after its premiere in 1996. Moms could not get enough of Steve. In 2000, People magazine even named Steve one of America's most eligible bachelors. Life was good for Steve, except for one hairy detail. Literally, his hair was falling out. Steve didn't want to lose his hair on national TV. He absolutely refused.
Such a pussy.
Male pattern baldness is a very common side effect of aging. Cures to male pattern baldness, not so common. So Steve started out mild, dyeing his hair here, sticking on a toupee there. But the stay-at-home moms were beginning to notice, and the emails slowed. Steve just couldn't bear it. He began debating leaving the show. But who was he without Blue? He had to try one more thing. Experimental stem cell follicle activation.
These stay-at-home moms sound very shallow to me.
Shallow.
They were
hell.
Into him.
Female version.
So Steve went in for his first treatment, where the inactive hair follicles on his head were chemically stimulated to create more lactate and thus more hair growth. Except, that's not what happened.
Your hair can lactate? I thought only your tits.
You know, I looked into this and it wasn't. It's not milk. It's like a sugar thing in the follicle. It's, right. It happens. You,
a couple months from now, Amber can. We'll talk more about lactating.
In the split second where the mitochondria, aka the powerhouse of the cell, was supposed to release more lactate, a glitch occurred in Steve's brain. A glitch that allowed him, and only him, to experience a quantum jump into a different reality. But even he himself did not realize what had happened. All he knew is that his hair never started growing, and he was forced to make the decision to resign from Blue's Clues. Enter Donovan Patton, aka Joe, Steve's replacement. Steve began training Donovan to take over as his replacement in 2000, and while they had a good relationship, Steve couldn't help but feel jealous over Joe's full head of hair. Nonetheless, Steve filmed the last three episodes of the show with Joe and walked off set. On April 29th, 2002, Steve sat down along with 13.7 million preschoolers to watch the final episode of the show. I once again want to stress that Steve never ever meant any harm from his actions, but when he saw Joe's luscious head of hair at that 16-minute mark of the episode, the pure rage and jealousy in his body expanded the mitochondria in his cells and created a, pardon the pun, hairline fracture in the universal timeline. The world split in two, and the entire planet's population was hurled into an alternate timeline, the timeline of today. And that, folks, is what caused the Mandela effect.
Fucking Blue's Clues and Steve Burns, total bitch pussy.
Hey, Steve did not mean any harm. We stated this several times.
I was never a fan of Steve, and I don't know about you. I heard a ton of rumors why he left the show. Everything from he did gay porn to regular porn to he got into drugs. And now we hear why he left the show, because he was balding.
Well, it's interesting that you just used the word rumor. Could it possibly be that these things did happen to Steve after he left the show, but they're all different timelines?
Did film a porno?
Possibly in a different timeline.
In a parallel universe. Yes. Just like our Would You Rather game.
And that's where all those theories came from.
The
they
only
happened,
porn I'd watch with Steve is if he was banging Blue Blue's Clues.
Which I did not know. But
after
Blue
he
was.
Shopped in the grocery after store with him and picked store. Out Special K or Cheerios.
And Amber, why Steve's doing Blue, you're going to do this sound effect. What's the famous sound effect that you did in the beginning of the show?
Bah, bah, bah.
Yep. That's the noise he makes while he's getting fucked.
No, did you guys know Blue is a girl?
No.
Yes.
No, because later on in the show, because I used to watch, there was a purple.
Magenta, also a girl, but Blue's a girl.
That's bullshit. When was that ever established?
In my research on this theory.
You know what? In old school America, blue is for boys and magenta's for girls. There is a color gender discrepancy.
What do you guys think, though? Did this cause the Mandela effect? Did I convince you?
I buy
you?
It.
I think so.
I think it could, because here's a guy. Think about this. Nowadays, who can be on TV in like you mentioned, 13.7 million people, and he's like completely slipped and faded away into, have you ever seen him recently? Have you
no.
heard anything about him?
He vanished.
He completely vanished.
He's probably hanging out at the power with the Power Rangers
yeah.
and one of your local establishments.
So I think it could definitely, this could be the cause of the Mandela effect.
What I find interesting is that 1 month ago in March, they actually announced that Blue's Clues is coming back. They're bringing it back. They're doing a
with
remake
Steve?
Of it. Not they didn't state if it was going to be with Steve or not. But I have a feeling that somebody else figured this out as well, and they're trying to correct for it.
All right. So when is it coming out, you said?
They didn't announce the time it's coming
all right.
out. But it's,
so whenever it comes out, mm-hmm. what we're going to do as sensible people, we're going to watch the premiere of the first episode. Then, after the first episode ends,
yep.
we're going to look back at all these examples we just laid out for our listeners of the Mandela Effect, the GIF, the Monopoly guy, whatever, the Queen song. and we're going to see if it changed back to what we thought it had. So maybe the Queen song, oh, after that episode airs,
we'll have
say
it.
Of the world. Maybe Jif becomes Jiffy. Maybe the Monopoly guy wears a monocle. And then we will know, people, that we are in the Truman Show and someone's playing us like a fucking puppet.
And then we're going to make a really special Kool-Aid, go down by the river. All of Sensible Nation's going to come. We're all going to drink this Kool-Aid and slip off into a peaceful existence.
Jonestown.
Can we do mushrooms? Can we do mushrooms too with the Kool-Aid?
By all means.
All right.
Well, I am so glad that we solved this for you, Sensible Nation. Let us know what you think of our theory, and let us know if you have a different theory.
Yeah, check out our social channels. We'll have all these examples up. If not, feel free, Google the Mandela Effect. There's a lot of stuff on it. Very interesting topics.
All right, Sensible Nation. As we mentioned earlier in the show, we've got a very special guest, friend of the show, Matt Whiskey Boy Blake from Whiskey Boy Radio joining us. We're going to have a little fun with him today. So what's up, Matt?
What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Whiskey Dick?
Whiskey, you have no
idea. I think your show should be Whiskey Dick Radio.
How many whiskeys does it take a whiskey boy to get a whiskey dick is the question.
By this
of the
time
day.
It takes a lot, but I can't do that. There's a band down here called Whiskey Dick. So.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. It's a good name.
So, yeah, it's totally fucking awesome.
So, Whiskey Boy, the name, how did that come about?
So I've been, before we even started the podcast, I had a project called Dallas Local Live where I'd promote local bands.
Okay.
There was this one band called Dolly Braid back in the day, and we went to all their shows, and one of their songs had a lyric, "If I could offer you a shot of sipping whiskey." So nice. I would do a shot of whiskey with the band every time they played before they went on stage. And so the lead singer one time at the Curtain Club in Deep Ellum, he said, "If I could offer Matt a shot of sipping whiskey," and then he held up a shot because they had shots with it on stage too. He said, "Here you go, Whiskey Boy." And I'm like, "Well, I'm using that name for fucking ever."
Absolutely. So it stuck. It's
probably, geez, I don't know. That was 14 or 15.
So were you like the roadie of the band?
No, I was just I was kind of like a groupie that would not give head.
Yeah. Then what good a groupie are you?
I bring alcohol. That's about it.
So do you still drink a lot of whiskey?
I do when I drink. I'm getting up there in age.
Don't be a pussy, Matt.
I'm gonna be 40 in a couple years, and I have 5 kids, so I gotta. And plus, I gotta diet, because if you don't, you get enormous. And I don't know what the term is for girls hunting big old guys, but I don't want my wife to have to do that. So anyway, when I do drink, I drink whiskey, and I love it. It's the most beautiful shit ever invented. Thank you, Lord. And it's spectacular, but I'll drink beer every once in a while if I'm just chilling and hanging out.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Five kids, you're really pumping them out.
Yeah, well, I'm not pumping anything. I was just poking fun, and she took me all serious. I don't know.
There's rumors up here in the Midwest in Chicago that you're known as the Silver Fox of Texas.
The Silver Fox. Shit. Two people ever have called me that, and they were ridiculous, crazy chick bass players, and they're like not attractive women, so you're like, nice sentiment, but not from you, honey.
Yeah. Matt, as Taylor mentioned, we've obviously never formally met face to face, but we feel like we know you really well. You're a great friend of the show, have helped us a lot, and I just wanted to tell you, when we were going back and forth of when we were trying to make time for you to come on the show, and you said you had, you know, some things going on today, if you didn't find a time that worked, Taylor and I were going to behead you like Ned Stark from Game of Thrones, but the only fucking difference is we would have then pissed on your lifeless corpse as you lay there in our studio.
That's very graphic.
Well, we needed a new prop for the studio, so we thought about bringing your head back. But the one thing I did bring back from New Orleans, had a good time down there, drank a shit ton, saw a bunch of cool shit, but I did bring back a voodoo doll, so we're trying to keep it away from Amber because we feel like she's going to start pinging and prodding at it and calling out our names. But
got green hair on it and shit.
It does.
Yeah, it does. It's got our colors.
That's spectacular.
It is. But Ryan's kind of afraid it's going to haunt the studio now.
It is.
Taylor already pricked his finger with it.
what the hell? You got to be careful. That's how like a horror movie starts with that. Oh, haha, we got a little prop for the studio. Next thing you know, somebody dies by choking on a microphone.
Yeah. No, I'm wondering if there's if this little voodoo doll's got like a little dick underneath his little costume. That's what I'm wondering.
I think you should check.
I tried to check and I got poked.
So,
yeah, you did.
Hey, Matt, so what do you think Taylor was feeding marshmallows to the pigs down in New Orleans this past week?
Yeah, he was. And,
yeah,
and,
didn't you see my
was,
videos?
And not just the like feral four-legged pigs. He was like, where's the fat bitches on Bourbon Street?
He right. sent me a text message where he slept in a fucking pen one night, and I saw three hogs right next to him.
Spectacular.
This is not true.
Full bush.
Very sensible.
All right, so we've got a little game lined up for everybody today. Matt, you're going to be our first guest to play this game with us. You may have heard us play it in the past. It's called Did It Really Happen?
Yeah, I'm honored.
So we've got, let's see, five stories.
Matt asked himself
up.
That after each kid he had.
This really, does this one look like me? This one looks awfully tan.
Perfect. So we've got five stories lined up. I'm going to run the show. Some of these stories may be false. Some may be true. It's up to you guys to guess whether the former or latter is the correct answer. So Amber, Ryan, and Matt are all going to play. We'll take turns. I'm going to designate who's going first.
Did it really happen? You decide.
So story number one, you ready to rock and roll, Matt?
I'm ready.
All right, you're Let's up first, hear. Buddy. Okay. Story number one, a Lebanese man is unconscious after a wife beat him with a spoon, leaving a dent in his forehead. What? And here's a little tidbit. A domestic dispute Tuesday between the husband and wife in the Ain al-Awi Palestinian refugee camp in Sidon ended with her husband unconscious in a nearby hospital. Neighbors who helped transport the man identified as a 60-year-old Palestinian. That's what it says. It's A-A-A-A.
Yeah.
Said he lost consciousness and incurred head injuries, including a dent, after his wife allegedly beat him with a large spoon during a family quarrel. Huh. So, question goes to you first, Matt. Did this really happen?
I've been married long enough to know that that has fucking happened.
But the dent, I feel like, what is he got, a soft fucking skull? He's got a soft spot like a baby?
Especially in other countries where they don't get all the
nutrients.
Water like we do.
Right, right.
Okay, I eat chicken tenders 90% of my diet. That's my nutrients.
Right. But maybe you'd get a dent if Dana hit you in the fucking head.
Oh. Amber, don't get any ideas.
I'm going with it did happen because my grandma used to hit us with spoons when we were younger.
With
Never
spoons?
Left a dent, but yeah, with a wooden spoon.
In the head?
Wherever she could reach us.
That's Wait, awesome. What, Matt, Whiskey Boy, what did you say? Yes?
I said yes.
All right, yes. Just for the, I'm going to say no.
You're going to go no.
I'm going to go
All
no.
All right, we got two okay. yeses with Amber and Matt and a no with Ryan. I'll keep track and we'll add these up at the very end. So, but first we want to try this out. Amber, pull your belly out. Get the spoon, Ryan.
Okay, I'm gonna Wait, play
gonna
the spoons.
The baby.
We just want to see if it dents. Yeah. It's a simple thing.
Dent the baby or the belly?
Just the belly. Come on, we're not criminals here. All right.
Just eating pregnant women.
All right, number two. Here we go. We got Ryan will go first on this one. Let's go, Ryan, Mr. Raw Dog. A Cambodian man peels his genital with a potato peeler in a weekly street act for tourists. And here's the information.
Oh, God.
A 34-year-old man's eye-opening story from Kampot was recently shared with QBC. In 2015, the Cambodian deli shop owner, Phalam Kat, I suppose you pronounce it that way, was diagnosed with congenital analgesia, an extremely rare condition in which a person cannot feel and has never felt physical pain. Turning his condition into an opportunity, Kat began performing pain-inducing acts on the streets of Kampot for dozens of tourists daily. His latest act taken to the extreme, Cat now uses a potato peeler to peel his penis skin in front of appalled crowds. Raw so, Doug, you up first.
So he peels it like you're peeling a carrot and the skin like just falls off onto the fucking
Yeah, I don't
ground.
Know what he does with the fucking
Well, so A,
peelings.
If this is true, he's got hella calluses on his dick. And you know what, though? I'm going with yes, because if they're drinking that Cambodian tit milk down there, that shit will do fucking wonders. So I think this guy really is fucking peeling his dick.
Amber?
Oh, well, when I get a pedicure, it does quite look like someone's peeling my view with a potato peeler. But I don't see how that would ever draw a crowd. So I'm going to go with false.
Well,
I'd watch it.
Yeah, come on. You guys wouldn't line up to see that?
That's going to draw a crowd.
Yeah. What do you mean you wouldn't see
I
how
would
it draws
look
a
away.
Crowd? Amber or Ryan Matt and I would be the first three in line.
I would be. I'd get his jersey.
Yeah. FUBU. All right, Matt.
No, negatory, Ghost Rider. That's not happening. That did not occur.
All right.
But I wonder if it had, if he could use like that, what's that glove, the handy peel? Could he use that?
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Shred it by jack it off. That'd be
the handy peel. Love it. All right, so the third one comes from a true story
he
from
could
my
fuck
recent...
a cheese grater. I'm sure just could. Thinking about it.
So, recent story from my little New Orleans excursion recently. So, my wife B and I took a haunted history tour into the streets of the French Quarter one of our last nights there. So, we're talking about a two-hour tour. And we had one of these fucking guides that was just the quintessential guide. He looked like he fucking crawled out of the crypt and to give this tour. He had the voice. He walked like a zombie. The guy was probably 75 years old, maybe 95 pounds. I mean, he looked like a skeleton and he had this voice. It was so fucking perfect. Like, and the stairs oozed blood, like just somebody you want telling stories to your kids or your grandchildren. Anyways. So we get this tour guide and it's about a 2 hour tour, as I mentioned, and about an hour in, he gives us a 10-minute break to go to the bathroom at this bar that we walked by.
So you fucked him.
I did not fuck him. I went to the bathroom.
He wasn't
out.
Big enough.
Yeah, he's not big enough. He would have broken. I don't want to hear his pelvic bone crack. So we get this 10-minute break. We come out. We're all waiting for him. Big group, probably 40 of us, waiting for this guy, Zach, to come out. So Zach doesn't show after about 15 minutes. So we're like, what the fuck? Where is this guy? Everybody's kind of getting restless. And we end up giving up. So we kind of chalk it off to like maybe he had an emergency. Maybe something came up and he just left. Or maybe he forgot about us in his, you know, senile age. So we give up. B and I start walking back to our hotel down Bourbon Street. Sure enough, we see fucking Zach standing in the line at Larry Flint's Hustler Club. He's got the cover in his hands. And we're like, that's the goddamn tour guide. He's going into the Barely Legal Hustlers Club. What the fuck? So he just bailed. And I didn't have the balls to go up and confront him, but I was pretty ticked off. He left the middle of the tour that we paid, you know, fucking $50 a pop for.
You're painting,
to go to the fucking titty
You're
bar.
Painting a picture of a very sensible man.
So I don't know if, I mean, what this fucking dude's deal is. Maybe he had like the text alert system and they had some superstar show up at Larry Flint's. But he bolted for that titty bar. So Amber, did this happen?
I'm going to go with no. I'm thinking maybe something similar happened. Maybe he was a little bit late to come back, but I don't think he totally left.
I'm going to say no as well.
I'm going to say no, but I want to know if Zach has a podcast.
Because I think Taylor, like he wanted to bolt for the titty bar.
Yes.
That's what I think.
But it wouldn't have been Larry Fentz Barely Legal Club. It would have been... I want to go to Big Bertha's Hog and Wild.
I always bring my marshmallows with me.
were pigs actually like put on high heels and dresses?
Yeah.
They might as well be.
So speaking anyways.
Have you guys watched the new Roseanne yet?
Don't even get me started, Matt. I'm the biggest fan.
I know you are.
Funny, quick story. I just told these guys. When I was down in New Orleans, we went to the Garden District, so a lot of celebrities live in that area. So we're getting a tour right by John Goodman's house, and he happened to be there. He pops out of his front door, and he goes, "Hey, get off my lawn!" And then he smiled and waved, but it was a pretty awesome moment.
That's pretty cool.
Of course, Ryan wishes he were me in that instant.
John Goodman's the man. Dan Connor.
Fantastic.
He looks like shit, though, lately.
Yeah.
He lost a lot of weight.
He did. It wasn't good for him.
Matt, do you think throughout the years, going back to the 80s, 90s, and now the new Roseanne, you think Goodman ever porked Roseanne?
I think him and Tom Arnold threw her double on her.
I bet so, too. Fucking Tom Arnold.
What's he up to these days?
Yeah, where is he?
He's down in New Orleans at Larry Flint's Barely Legal.
Exactly. You pegged it. All right, number four, and no cheating, Amber. A Japanese man arrested for keeping son in cage for 20 years. Let me pull up the story.
I can relate to this.
Wait, why'd you say no cheating? Yeah. Like I would have personal experience with this.
Japanese police on Saturday reportedly arrested a 73-year-old man accused of keeping his son in a cage for more than two decades. The suspect, identified in local news reports as Yoshitani Yamasaki, has reportedly admitted to the allegations but claimed he had no choice due to his son's bad and poor acts.
Oh, Daniel-san.
I made my son live in a cage for more than 20 years because he has mental problems and he acted up.
Yeah, get Yamasaki your ass in the cage.
Was quoted as saying by NHK.
Man, I need a cage.
What do you guys think?
I need a fucking cage. I believe it.
Is this the baseball player the Angels just signed this year?
Yeah, Ohtani.
Ohtani?
It sounds like him.
I think it happened. They're crazy over there.
So Matt said yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Raw dog?
Yes. And he just fed him pickled pig's feet through the cage.
I'll go with, just to be different here, no, because I think Taylor just wanted to do that accent because he loves doing Japanese accents on the show.
I didn't even pull off a Japanese accent. Jeanette! Yeah.
Kawasaki. Oh my god. All right. That just brought me back to when we're joking about our IT team. Oh, yeah. Wilson in the server room.
Oh yeah.
Shinai.
All right. And we got one last one. So we've got some different
okay,
answers.
Okay, 10 minutes.
So this is good. We'll tally them up at the end.
Hold All on right. one second. Matt, in Texas, when you order Chinese food,
yeah.
In Texas, do they even down there whatever you order, they just say, okay, 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, every fucking time.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
So it's always, it's the same time frame across the country.
Yeah, it's the same time frame for chicken or for Hunan beef.
It's all ready to go.
Whatever
ten
you
minute.
Want. Oh, you want Hunan beef and hand job? You go back 10 minutes.
Right. All right, number five. Another personal story from my New Orleans excursion. So flight back from New Orleans, B and I are sitting in the back row next to an older gentleman. B's in the middle. I'm in the aisle. The older guy's at the window. So immediately the man starts striking up conversation. Real nice guy. Asks about our trip. Tells us how he frequently visits the city because his son and daughter-in-law live down there and how much he loves it. Blah, yada, yada. Dude has a double gin and tonic order coming. So he gets the double gin and tonic, drinks it, and he starts to repeat himself a lot. Starts slurring his words.
Normal.
Yeah, normal.
You want to plane with my father?
Then all of a sudden, you know, as I said, pretty subtle, nice guy, regular conversation, pretty standard stuff. Then all of a sudden, after this double gin and tonic kicks in, he starts looking at B and yelling, "Mow! Mow! Mow!" So he goes from fucking sweet old man to deer hunter within seconds.
Or Mars Attacks.
Yeah. And, you know, B and I were a little startled, but we didn't really know what to do.
This was on the plane, you said?
Yeah, we just looked at him with, like,
sir,
one stare.
Sir, are you okay?
Mow, mow, mow.
You might have a mild case of Tourette's, maybe.
Raw
it's
dog?
Not mild.
Yeah, that is not mild. Let me tell you.
I'm going to go with no, it did not happen.
I'm also going to go with no, it did not happen.
I'm going to go with the crowd on this one and say
so no.
Sorry, your trip wasn't that.
No.
You saw John Goodman. That was about it.
Whiskey Boy didn't see my video of that online. All right. So let's circle back to these. We've got number one was about the man that got the dent in his forehead from a spoon. And we had Whiskey Boy went true, Amber went true, and Ryan went no. That, in fact, is a true story.
Yeah.
So this fucking Lebanese, right. Palestinian.
Well, that guy
man.
Needs to get a way stronger fucking skull. He's got issues.
He's got a guest spot on I know.
All right, so we've got 1 point for Matt and 1 point for Amber. Moving on to number two. That story was about the Cambodian man who peels his genitalia with
true.
A potato peeler.
Please be true.
So Whiskey Boy, you said no. Amber said no. And I'm sorry. Whiskey Boy said no. Amber said no. And Raw Dog said yes.
Please, please, please.
This is not a true story.
Oh.
It is a completely fabricated story, you know, that I made up.
That was a good one to make
dream.
Up, though.
I will show you guys that it's possible.
Please video that.
That will be going viral pretty quickly.
Just chunks of foreskin falling off on the ground.
So, I told you guys I could do
it. Dude, you're a badass. What do you do with the fucking peelings? That's what I want to know.
Sprinkle it on
salad.
You said you was a deli owner, didn't you?
Yeah.
Fermunda.
A little Parmesan.
Fermunda.
What the Fermunda cheese is so tasty.
Oh, so good.
So nummy. All right, so we got 2 points for Whiskey Boy and 2 for Miss Amber. No points for Mr.
See, the
Rod
problem is I go with my heart in these questions and not my brain.
You don't have a heart.
Or my gut, I should say. Just right. Like when I gamble.
That's your problem. Number three is the story about Zach, the tour guide,
Zach
who
attack.
I caught in the fucking Larry Flint's Barely Legal line after he ditched our tour. All three of you went with a unanimous no, this is not true. And all three of you are correct.
Oh.
All
right, I got
the,
a point.
The part about Zach is true. We did have this guy, but he did actually complete the tour. I didn't see him out of the fucking line. But this guy, I tell you, was a hell of a tour guide.
Good times.
All right, number four was the Japanese man arrested for keeping his son in a cage for 20 years.
What year is it?
So Whiskey Boy went yes. Amber went no. Raw Dog went yes. This is a true story.
Woo!
Read them and weep, Amber.
Another point for Mr. Matt, Whiskey Boy Blake. Raw Dog, you've got a point on the table.
You're giving ideas for Amber and her new
Amber
baby.
Amber does not get a point.
Who needs a crib? Who needs a rock and play? Who needs a...
they all kind of are cages.
What's the thing?
The snoo bassinet.
The bassinet. Yeah. You don't need a bassinet. Just get a dog. I'll give you my dog cage,
well,
Amber.
Here's the fucking thing. This is a wooden cage. It says it was built next to Yamasaki's main house. It was reportedly a mere 3.3 feet high and just under 6 feet wide.
Wow.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
I keep all of my children in a cage.
At that size? Hey,
did you say the dad's name was Shang Tsung?
I hand them their cage in the form of an iPhone. And they just sit there and don't fucking move.
There you go.
You get in that cage and you wait there 10 minutes.
All right. We've got one more. And you guys, unfortunately, all went with unanimous no on this one. This was the story about the man that we sat next to on the flight. I did sit next to this man on the flight. And this story is, in fact, unfortunately false. He did get drunk after a couple fucking double gin and tonics and was slurring like an idiot and repeating himself. They wanted to backhand his ass, but
no mouth.
All in all, he did not.
I thought you
mouth.
Were going to say he exposed himself to be
mouth. Mouth. 10 minute mouth. All right. So it looks like Mr. Matt Whiskey Boy Blake, you were across the board correct, sir. So you
that
are the lucky
bullshit.
Winner. Of 1 2-liter bottle of Amber's breast milk.
That shit sells like
you
crazy.
Want it warm, warm or
it
cold?
It really does.
I would prefer it cold. That
with a nice milk mustache.
Right. Ship it to Cambodia to use on peeled peckers.
Like what? You know what? Sensible Nation. What the fuck, Matt Whiskey Boy Whiskey Dick wins our dicks by mail giveaway. He fucking wins this game. He's a friend of the show. We're not trying to like suck his dick or anything.
He's
like,
just a winner.
He's just, you were born to win.
I was born to win.
So that was fun. But hope you had fun, Matt. What else you got going on? Any big shows, guests coming up on your show?
Man, I got some great audio coming up from this weekend because last night I was down at Deep Ellum at the Curtain Club for a big David Galloway played. He is his own band now. Formerly, he was the lead singer of Element 80.
Okay.
And, he's got a new album coming out. And then we met Ryan Avila down there, who's releasing an album. And we're going to have those guys on the show. And then next, tomorrow, or tonight, actually, I'm going back to Deep Ellum to see some local bands that are amazing. Attacane and Redefine and Bishop, and going to get a lot of audio. So my shows for the next couple weeks are going to have lots of drunk people out at a bar audio, which is going to be good.
Good shit.
Always fun.
Always fun.
And then coming way up in September, we have the annual Concert for the Cause that we started down here year one. This is going to be year six. And it's a breast cancer benefit we do every September at the Hard Rock in Pittsburgh. And this year it is 80s themed. We're going to have a Ghostbusters crew there. That's we're going to awesome. Have a DeLorean Back to the Future there.
Sweet.
And, all the bands are going to be playing 80s music. We're going to raffle off an original NES. We're going to raffle off a guitar made out of an NES. It's going to be pretty spectacular coming
fun
up.
Fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Sensible Nation, check out Whiskey Boy Radio podcast. A lot of fun. Matt, plug where they can download your podcast.
All our shit is on whiskeyboyradio.com. You can get us in Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, everywhere you love to consume. And I do have a special treat for Amber. It's not all right, but... I did find someone who knows you, Amber.
Who knows me?
Oh, her eyes just lit up, Matt.
From a long time ago, and I wanted to bring her on the show. Come over here. Come over here.
Hello, Amber. This is Mildred. You don't remember me, but you ruined my life. Two words. TARDIS.
It's the tartar sauce lady.
I'm very worried that you're having a child. Are you going to remember to feed the thing?
Just tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce. I'll never mess that up again. I'm so very sorry.
We looked all of Craigslist trying to find her, and fucking Whiskey Boy was able to pull the trigger and get her.
Amber actually got genetically altered a surgery that she's only going to produce Cambodian tit milk.
Just for TARDIS.
I hope your first child is a masculine child.
So I thought you would enjoy me having her. Having
thank
her
you.
Well, we do golf claps.
Hey, ready? Do a little golf clap,
golf
Matt.
Golf clap with us, Whiskey Boy. There we go. Thank you, Tartar Sauce Lady, for that wonderful presence. Where can we find you on social media? We always laugh at your shit.
Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Whiskey Boy Radio.
All right, my man. Thank you. I believe we're on the show, on your show, in a couple weeks as well.
Yeah, coming up like the 25th or somewhere around that.
Beautiful. Looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming on, Whiskey Dick.
Absolutely, fucker.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
See ya.
We had a really fun time today with Whiskey Boy, didn't we?
Yeah.
He's an awesome guy. I love that man. We are wrapping up the show. We'd love for you guys to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. At Twitter, we are at @Sensible_people. On Instagram, we are at Sensible People. We also have a Facebook as well, if you have a Facebook and want to follow us there. We do post a lot of funny shit, so please follow us and share the wealth.
And now, as we've been mentioned, we have a shop now with merchandise, so be sure to go to sensiblepeoplepodcast.com and click on the shop tab. We have t-shirts, we have sweatshirts, we have leggings, beach towels, coffee mugs, socks, phone cases, and best of all, lemon pussy.
And leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Podknife. We really want to hear your thoughts on the show, what you love, what you hate. If you hate it, we'll hate right back.
And we're on Spotify now, guys, so you can find us on there, too.
If you guys do hate us, just yell shit at Amber, not Taylor.
Yeah, nobody hates us, Ryan. We are sensible people.
See ya, sensible fuckers.
See ya.